连语三级跳。
各位听众大家好，今天我们为您播出美语三级跳节目社会文化单元的终极课程。Jane 和 Will 初次约会，聊到了彼此的家庭背景。我知道 Jane 的父母来自中国，所以啊，我很想听听作为一个亚裔美国人 Jane 的成长经历是什么样的呢？
That's right, Winnie. Let's listen to what they have to say.
So, Jane, you said that both your parents are from China. How do they like living in America?
They really like it. But, of course, they miss their friends and family back home sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, do you consider yourself Chinese or American?
Well, that's a complicated question. Of course, I'm American, but I'm ethnically Chinese as well.
I see. So, you consider yourself both?
That's right.
Will 总是问一些严肃的问题。他问 Jane, 觉得自己是中国人还是美国人? Jane 回答说,自己啊,既是中国人,也是美国人。
Right.Jane is an American citizen, but she is also ethnically Chinese.
Ethnically? 啊、oh, 我明白了。Ethnic 是民族的意思。
Exactly. For example, I could say that Hispanics are one of the largest ethnic groups in America.
所以呢,从民族上来说 ,Jane 认为自己是华人。Professor, 拉美裔人是美国人口最多的少数族裔之一。那么亚裔人口又怎么样呢?
Asians make up about 4.5% of the American population.
Did you face a lot of stereotypes growing up?
Of course. All minorities face some stereotypes. For me, lots of people assume that because I'm Asian, I'm smart and good at math.
That doesn't sound like a bad stereotype to have.
No, it's not a very offensive stereotype, but it's still wrong for people to assume things about me because of how I look.I hate math.
Me too. I guess that's one thing we have in common.
Stereotype. S-T-E-R-E-O-T-Y-P-E. Stereotype 是刻板印象、先入为主的看法。Jane 说，因为他是亚裔，所以很多美国人对他持有 stereotype。一看到他的亚洲脸，就认定他的数学一定很好。
But Jane thinks that stereotypes are wrong, doesn't she?
当然了 ,Jane 说以貌取人是不对的。她其实啊很讨厌学数学呢。
That's right. She and Will both hate math. So that's one thing they have in common.
Did people tease you when you were growing up because you're Asian?
My school was very politically correct, so people tried really hard not to say things that would offend me.
Right. Race can be a sensitive subject in America.People like to talk about it, but only in a polite way.
That's true. People these days try hard to be tolerant and are careful not to say things that other people may think are racist.
看来啊 ,Jane 是在比较 tolerant, 宽容的环境下长大的。人们没有因为她是亚裔而嘲弄她。不过 ,Professor, 什么叫 politically correct?
Being politically correct is making sure that the things you say...won't offend people in minority groups and disadvantaged groups.
Oh, politically correct. 在政治上保持正确，也就是啊，言行上避免有歧视少数族裔或弱势群体之嫌。
Right. People don't want to say anything racist, so they make sure all their words are very polite.
没错 ,racist, 种族歧视性的言行肯定不能让你做到 politically correct.
It's pretty easy for me living in the U.S. because it is such a diverse country. There are many other minorities, so I don't feel different.
That's true. The U.S. is a country of immigrants, so it's very diverse.
Yep. My university is especially diverse. It tries to find students from all over the world.
Oh, yeah. My university has lots of minority students, too. I've really enjoyed learning about lots of different cultures from them.
Winnie, do you know what diverse means?
Diverse 就是多样化。Jane 和 Will 的大学都很 diverse， 不仅有来自各族裔的学生，还有来自世界各地的留学生。Professor， Jane 和 Will 初次约会就谈了宗教、种族这些严肃的话题，而且聊得挺高兴的。我看啊，他们真是天生一对呢。各位听众，这次的美语三级跳节目就播送到这里，感谢您的收听，下次再见。
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello, my name is Kathy.
Welcome to New Dynamic English.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨。欢迎收听新动态英语。
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture. Today's unit is, When did you graduate?
新动态英语是一套以美国人和美国文化为题材的美国英语基础课程，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天这一课的题目是，你是哪一年毕业的？学习怎样介绍你的学历，还要学习表示时间的状语短语。例如 ,in 1900, 1900年 ,7 years ago, 七年前。我们的老师 Max 在书里读到爱因斯坦上学的时代。我们先来学习几个词句。
Education
教育学历。
Education He preferred to work on his own.
他喜欢自学。
He attended schools in both Germany and Switzerland.
他在德国和瑞士都上过学。
He graduated in 1900.
他1900年毕业。
Hi, Max.
Hi, Kathy.
How's your book?
My book about Einstein? It's very interesting. I'm reading about his school days.
School days? Einstein was a good student, wasn't he?
Well, actually, Einstein didn't like school.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. He preferred to work on his own.
Where did he go to school?
He attended schools in both Germany and Switzerland.
How about college? Where did he go to college?
He went to a university in Switzerland where he studied physics. He graduated in 1900.
Interesting. It's time to meet today's guest. Today we'll be talking with Sarah Scott.
Oh, yes. Sarah's a doctor, right?
Yes, that's right. She works in a hospital in Chicago.
What's she going to talk about?
She's going to tell us about her education.
Great.
Listen and repeat.
听说练习。接下来请大家跟着老师说。
Albert Einstein attended schools in Germany and Switzerland. He went to a university in Switzerland where he studied physics. He graduated in 1900. In 1900, he graduated from a university in Switzerland.
Interview.
访谈时间。采访对象是住在芝加哥的女医生 Sarah Scott. Sarah 是在马里兰大学医学院念的医学预科。我们先来学习几个词句。
Pre-med. Pre-medical.
医科大学预科。
Pre-med. Pre-medical.
Pre-med 是Pre-medical 的缩写 P-R-E 是前缀，表示什么之前。
A clinic
诊所。
A clinic Medical school
医学院，医科大学。
Medical school What school did you go to?
你在什么学校念书？这里的 school 可以指大学、中学或小学。
I graduated 7 years ago.
我在七年前毕业。下面请听访谈。
Our guest today is Sarah Scott. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Kathy.
You and your sister live in Chicago, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes, it is. My sister and I were both born there.
After you graduated from high school, did you go to college in Chicago?
No, I didn't. I went to college in Maryland.
Where did you go? What school did you go to?
I went to the University of Maryland, where I studied pre-med.
When did you graduate? How long ago?
I graduated 7 years ago.
What did you do after you graduated?
Well, for 1 year, I worked in a small clinic in Chicago. Then I began medical school.
Okay. We'll talk about medical school with our guest, Sarah Scott, after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
在美国，希望成为医生的人在上医学院之前要完成医科大学预科的课程，一般包括生物、物理、化学等等。Sarah 在上医学院之前就是在马里兰大学念的医学预科。我们再听一遍这段对话。
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Kathy.
You and your sister live in Chicago, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes, it is. My sister and I were both born there.
After you graduated from high school, did you go to college in Chicago?
No, I didn't. I went to college in Maryland.
Where did you go? What school did you go to?
I went to the University of Maryland, where I studied pre-med.
When did you graduate? How long ago?
I graduated 7 years ago.
What did you do after you graduated?
Well, for 1 year, I worked in a small clinic in Chicago. Then I began medical school.
Okay. We'll talk about medical school with our guest, Sarah Scott, after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
接下来请大家跟着老师说。
What did Sarah do after she graduated from high school?She went to college. Did she go to college in Chicago? No, she didn't. She went to college in Maryland. What university did she go to?She went to the University of Maryland. How long ago did she graduate? 7 years ago. Interview.
这一节我们继续采访 Sarah Scott. Sarah 在密西根大学医学院念了4年。我们先来学习几个词句。
A disease.
疾病。
A disease.
D-I-S-E-A-S-E.
I was there for 4 years.
我在那儿念了四年书。
During the first year, we studied basic medicine.
第一年我们学基础医学。
During the third and fourth years, we worked directly with patients.
第三年和第四年我们直接接触病人。
I got my degree 2 years ago.
我2年前拿到了学位。
Our guest today is Dr. Sarah Scott.After she graduated from the University of Maryland, Sarah went to medical school. Sarah, where did you go to medical school?
In Michigan, at the University of Michigan Medical School.
How many years were you in medical school?
I was there for 4 years.
Can you tell us a little about your studies?
Sure. During the first year, we studied basic medicine. Then in the second year, we learned about different diseases.
And in the third year?What did you study during the third year?
During the third and fourth years, we worked directly with patients. We worked with different kinds of patients, children, old people, and so on. For example, for 6 weeks, I worked with mothers and their new babies. and then for the next 6 weeks, I worked with small children.
When did you get your degree?
I got my degree 2 years ago.
Thank you for coming to see us today.
You're welcome, Kathy.
Let's take a short break. This is New Dynamic English.
我们再听一遍这段访谈。
Sarah, where did you go to medical school?
In Michigan, at the University of Michigan Medical School.
How many years were you in medical school?
I was there for 4 years.
Can you tell us a little about your studies?
Sure. During the first year, we studied basic medicine. Then in the second year, we learned about different diseases.
And in the third year? What did you study during the third year?
During the third and fourth years, we worked directly with patients. We worked with different kinds of patients, children, old people, and so on. For example, for 6 weeks, I worked with mothers and their new babies. And then for the next 6 weeks, I worked with small children.
When did you get your degree?
I got my degree 2 years ago.
Thank you for coming to see us today.
You're welcome, Kathy.
Let's take a short break.This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and answer.
问答练习。
Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
接下来我们问几个问题，请大家在铃响以后回答。
How long was Sarah in medical school? For 4 years.She was in medical school for 4 years. What did she study during her first year? Basic medicine. During her first year, she studied basic medicine. How long did she work with mothers and their babies? 6 weeks.She worked with mothers and their babies for 6 weeks. What did she do for the next 6 weeks? She worked with small children. For the next 6 weeks, she worked with small children.
Daily Dialogue
每日对话
An Old Girlfriend Part 2
今天的题目是一位过去的女朋友第二部分对话里的这位先生60年代后期曾经在旧金山住过我们先来学习几个词句
The late 60s
60年代后期
The late 60s I lived there for a few years
我在那儿住了几年
It was a long time ago
Na是很久以前的事了。
Listen to the conversation.
下面请听这段对话。
Okay, Karen. I'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
Who's Karen?
Oh, she's an old friend.
An old friend?
Yes, I met her in San Francisco more than 30 years ago.
San Francisco?When were you in San Francisco?
In the late 60s. I lived there for a few years.
You lived in San Francisco? I didn't know that.
Well, it was a long time ago.
Listen and repeat.
接下来请大家听一句,跟着说一句。
San Francisco? When were you in San Francisco?
In the late 60s. I lived there for a few years.
You lived in San Francisco? I didn't know that.
Well, it was a long time ago.
Man on the street.
街头采访。我们的街头采访记者 Kent Moss 在罗斯福纪念园采访了一位游客。我们先来学习几个词句。
Eleanor Roosevelt.
艾莉诺·罗斯福，罗斯福总统夫人。
Eleanor Roosevelt.
她以积极参与政治，帮助穷人而著名。
A first lady.
总统夫人，第一夫人。
A first lady. Human rights.
人权。
Human rights. FDR was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 32nd President of the United States.
罗斯福的全名是 Franklin Delano Roosevelt. 他是美国的第32任总统。
Hello, this is the new dynamic English man on the street, Kent Moss. I'm at the FDR Memorial in Washington, D.C. FDR was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 32nd President of the United States. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes?
Are you here to learn more about President Roosevelt?
I want to learn more about Mrs. Roosevelt.
Mrs. Roosevelt, the President's wife?
Yes, I think Eleanor Roosevelt was a great American.She helped poor people in America and other people who needed help.
She came from a rich family, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Both she and her husband Franklin came from very rich families. But Eleanor's mother and father both died when she was a child.
When did she marry Franklin Roosevelt?
They got married in 1905, when Eleanor was 21. After Franklin Roosevelt became president in 1933, she worked with him to help poor Americans.She was a very active first lady.
What did she do after her husband died?
He died in 1945, but Eleanor continued to work for human rights.
She lived a long life, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She was born in 1884, and she died in 1962 at the age of 78. She was a wonderful woman and a great American.
Thank you for talking with me today.
A question for you.
现在我们要向大家提一个问题，请在铃响以后回答。
Where did you go to school? Okay.
今天我们学习了怎样介绍你的学历，还有表示时间的状语短语，例如 in 1900, 7 years ago, 等等。下面我们复习今天的主要对话。首先是 Max 和 Cathy 谈论爱因斯坦的学历。
Hi, Max.
Hi, Cathy.
How's your book?
My book about Einstein? It's very interesting. I'm reading about his school days.
School days? Einstein was a good student, wasn't he?
Well, actually, Einstein didn't like school.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. He preferred to work on his own.
Where did he go to school?
He attended schools in both Germany and Switzerland.
How about college? Where did he go to college?
He went to a university in Switzerland where he studied physics. He graduated in 1900.
Interesting. It's time to meet today's guest. Today we'll be talking with Sarah Scott.
Oh, yes.Sarah's a doctor, right?
Yes, that's right. She works in a hospital in Chicago.
What's she going to talk about?
She's going to tell us about her education.
Great.
接下来我们采访了女医生 Sarah Scott.
Our guest today is Sarah Scott. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Kathy.
You and your sister live in Chicago, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes, it is. My sister and I were both born there.
After you graduated from high school, did you go to college in Chicago?
No, I didn't. I went to college in Maryland.
Where did you go? What school did you go to?
I went to the University of Maryland, where I studied pre-med.
When did you graduate? How long ago?
I graduated 7 years ago.
What did you do after you graduated?
Well, for 1 year...I worked in a small clinic in Chicago. Then I began medical school.
Sarah, where did you go to medical school?
in Michigan, at the University of Michigan Medical School.
How many years were you in medical school?
I was there for 4 years.
Can you tell us a little about your studies?
Sure. During the first year, we studied basic medicine. Then in the second year, we learned about different diseases.
And in the third year? What did you study during the third year?
During the third and fourth years, we worked directly with patients. We worked with different kinds of patients, children, old people, and so on. For example, for 6 weeks, I worked with mothers and their new babies. And then for the next 6 weeks, I worked with small children.
When did you get your degree?
I got my degree 2 years ago.
Thank you for coming to see us today.
You're welcome, Kathy.
Let's take a short break. This is New Dynamic English.
每日对话，一位过去的女朋友，第二部分。
Okay, Karen. I'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
Who's Karen?
Oh, she's an old friend.
An old friend?
Yes, I met her in San Francisco more than 30 years ago.
San Francisco? When were you in San Francisco?
In the late 60s. I lived there for a few years.
You lived in San Francisco? I didn't know that.
Well, it was a long time ago.
在结束今天这课之前，我们还要播送 Cathy 和 Max 还有他们的同事们在播音室里的一段对话，让大家从中了解美国的日常生活和日常用语。他们今天的话题是准备申请贷款。我们先来熟悉一个词 Loan 贷款，这个词是这样拼的 L-O-A-N。
Okay, and we're off the air.
Sorry, I have to go. I have an appointment.
What's up, Kathy?
I'm thinking about buying a house.
Hey, that's great news.
But first, I need to get a loan. So today, I'm going to meet with someone at my bank.
So you're going to get a loan. That's a big step. What kind of place are you looking for?
I'm going to get a condominium here in D.C.
Oh, so you already have a place picked out?
Well, no, not yet.I need to arrange for a loan first.
Well, good luck. I hope you get a low interest rate.
Thanks. Hi, folks.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Kathy 想要买房子，不过她首先要获得贷款，所以她要和银行贷款部门的人约见。在美国，大多数人买房子都要申请私人贷款。银行要先查你的信用历史，例如有没有欠账不还的记录。另外还有你的收入水平，然后决定是否贷款给你以及贷款的数目。一般来说，房屋贷款的期限为15年或30年。我们再听听他们的这段对话。
Okay, and we're off the air.
Sorry, I have to go. I have an appointment.
What's up, Kathy?
I'm thinking about buying a house.
Hey, that's great news.
But first, I need to get a loan.So today I'm going to meet with someone at my bank.
So you're going to get a loan. That's a big step. What kind of place are you looking for?
I'm going to get a condominium here in D.C.
Oh, so you already have a place picked out?
Well, no, not yet. I need to arrange for a loan first.
Well, good luck. I hope you get a low interest rate.
Thanks. Hi, folks.
Hi, Elizabeth.
今天这一课新动态英语就播讲到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
Well, our time is up. So until next time, this is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye. For further study, a new Dynamic English Study Kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，新动态英语备有课本和录音带，整套学习辅导材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
观众朋友们好，欢迎收看美国之音的时事大家谈，我是许波。中国人大常委会在七一回归日前夕通过香港国安法，香港核心价值岌岌可危。中共官媒表示，港区国安法有利于香港社会恢复繁荣稳定，让香港迎来二次回归。亲中媒体呢，甚至列下名单，要求潜逃暴徒逐个捉，造成香港民间人心惶惶。港人抗争经历了2003年的反23条立法，2015年的雨伞运动，直到2019年的反送中运动，去年的反送中运动，最后呢，竟被中共全面接管，结局令人唏嘘。国安法下，港人生活方式会有哪些变化？香港还会不会保有世界性自由港地位？北京的二次回归或人心回归的期待会不会实现？今天参加我们节目讨论的两位嘉宾，一位是香港资深媒体人纪硕明，纪先生你好。
许波你好。
那么另一位呢是香港荣休全国政协委员刘梦琼，刘先生你好。
许波好，大家好。
好，首先我来请教刘梦琼先生啊，人大常委会快速通过了香港国安法，最后的文本呢我们还没有看到，但是我们从中外媒体以及香港本地媒体当中报道当中呢，我们可以看到这个四个项目明确入罪，那就是分裂国家、颠覆国家政权、这个恐怖暴力活动，还有勾结境外势力危及国家安全。我来请教刘先生，观察人士注意到说审议这个审议过程中呢，这个港区国安法的这个内容越来越严苛，它的分量也在不断加重。那刘先生您怎么看这部香港国安法，您的感觉是什么？
自由和法治是香港的核心价值，而法治是讲求目标公义跟程序公义的有机统一。对于这个香港作为这个法治社会，从目标公义来讲，我们香港同胞当然是支持维护国家安全以及为国家安全的立法，但是这个立法必须是要依照程序的公义来依法立法。那么从基本法第23条来看，这个国家安全应该是香港特别行政区自行立法。如果按照基本法第18条，应该是香港要么就被人大常委会宣布处于战争状态，要么就处于紧急状态，但是现在两种状态都不是。好了，然后按照中华人民共和国的立法法，它有一个全国人民代表大会立法的程序，我们也看到是现在这个港区这个国安法的立法过程啊，是充满了特事特办的急救章，甚至今天早上的时候呢，人大常委会已经是举手全票通过了港区国安法的这个草案，但是到此时此刻，关系到我们750万那个香港同胞罪与非罪的这么一个重要的那个法案传闻，我们还没有看到。所以呢，鉴于以前谭卓人去追查豆腐渣工程，要说是这个煽动颠覆国家政权，被判5年徒刑。刘晓波看说这个政治体制改革搞了208宪章，又被说是颠覆国家政权，判了11年。还有就是说那个王全章这些维权律师也是说多颠覆国家政权。那么从香港同胞来看，这些无疑都是以言入罪，所以就很担心，如果把这个标准套来香港的话，就会令基本法赋予港人的言论自由、新闻自由等等啊，受到这个冲击，是失去免于恐惧的自由。所以我们希望就是说这个港区国家安全法的立法必须是按照习近平主席所讲的坚持一国原则，尊重两制差异，二姐不可偏废，要体现这么一个精神，就是说做到是目标公义跟这个程序公义的有机结合。谢谢。
好，那么中国内地官媒我们看到了都认为这个港区国安法有利于一国两制，但是很多人都把它视为香港一国两制的终结。此前我们看到香港呢，它是中国唯一一个
有别于其他地区的这个城市，此后呢，它将变成中国许多大都市当中的一个。我来请教香港纪硕明先生啊，您认为港区国安法中的哪些条款对于香港影响最大、最彻底的改变了港人的生活方式？最大的改变呢，应该是香港原有的两制的司法架构发生了根本的变化。就中央在香港新设立了。 国安部门并有执法权利，那个还保留了对极端重大案件的中央审判权，甚至有可能拉人进内地来受审。那么这些呢，对香港来说应该是非常震撼的。反送中就直接就变成了依法送中。那曾经的一国两制中最大的区别在于香港与内地的司法体制不同，当初是说。 内地和香港互不干涉，甚至对刑事案件至今两地还没有司法那个协助，所以内地公安不能到香港执法等等这样的一些情况，现在一一都破局了。虽然北京一再强调国安法只针对极少数危害国家的犯罪行为，但是内地。 人治大于法治，这也是不争的事实。就香港人呢，可能是不相信内地的这种司法公正性，再加上建制人士一再是叫好国安法的强大的一个震慑作用，所以呢，他不断敲击不少香港人那一颗向往自由的小心脏。所以呢，北京下决心铁腕治港。
可能对香港向往自由的约束，当然会是有很大的一种这个一个改变。徐波，
好，那么现在用人心惶惶来形容港人目前的心态，似乎并不过分。我们看到《新中媒体大公报》甚至开出了一份长长的名单，题目很吓人，就是“潜逃暴徒逐个捉”。
秋后算账。那我请教刘先生啊，中共一再安抚港人，刚才纪硕明先生也提到这个问题，说这个港版国安法呢，涉及的只是极少数人。那您怎么看中共的这个说法？真的是只有极少数人受影响呢？首先，那个大公报那个开出所谓“潜逃暴徒逐个抓”这个名单啊，已经就是文化大革命。 专政是群众的专政的翻版，啊，完全是这个人治而不是法治啊！这种舆论的审判来讲啊，完全是谴责这个法治精神。其次讲说什么极少数人这个问题呢？我们既有心啊，当年那个去这个1955年啊，中共去批斗这个所谓的胡风反革命集团的时候。 也就是说，极少数人，结果株连了1万6000多人。好了，1957年反右的时候，也是说反党、反社会主义分子啊是极少数，结果一下子打了，有说是50多万的右派，有说是200多万的右派。好了，10年文革啊，本来16条讲的是运动的重点是整一小撮走资本主义道路当权派。 结果呢，所有的这个八届中央委员80%以上都被打倒、被迫害致死，所以啊，这种那个阶级斗争为纲的这种那个指导思想底下来讲呢，所谓的极少数人呢、啊，完全是今天极少数，明天极少数，今天一小撮，明天一小撮，加起来就是一大片，完全是会在香港重复。 这个阶级斗争为纲，政治运动不断的这样的打击一大片，尤其是国防大学有一位叫徐燕少将，这他曾经讲过，香港里头呢那个50年把跑了一批被镇压的那个地主资本家国民党残渣余孽1962年的时候呢，饥饿分子跑了一批来，70年代上上下下的那些。 那个落魄分子要跑了12岁来，然后本世纪的头20年受这个洗脑教育，那个青少年都反共，所以说香港人呢是难以改造的，要留党不留人。你听到这些话来讲呢，你怎么说是极少数呢？
那么刘先生的话呢，刚才反映了港人的忧虑，这个忧虑不是没有道理的。 除了我们看到弃保潜逃的人士之外，大公报列举的那个名单，我们也看到有香港许多政界人士，比如像李柱铭、陈方安生、陈云等人，我们今天也看到黄之锋、罗冠聪等人，他们纷纷发表声明，或者宣布退出政坛，或者宣布呢与勇武抗争和蓝草派划清界限。我来请教季先生啊，您预计香港国安法如何改变香港的政治生态？港人的言论、结社还有出版等自由会在多大程度上受到影响呢？
就刚才讲的一些在民主派的领袖这个退潮，这个我觉得叫做识时务者为俊杰，就鸡蛋和高墙的关系谁都懂，都是人，所以在强权面前啊只能低头，他们都是有的都是七老八十的人了，为了自由丢了性命也没必要，但是现在退是不是来得及，对吧？会不会为时已晚都是未知数，因为我们还没看到这个基本的这个条文。那么所以我们可以看到，旧有的香港政治老臣已到了末路，恰恰也说明他们本来也没有什么大的政治理想和包袱，只是不消停想找一个自由环境来作秀。那么所以可以说，香港回归以来形成的中央整体控制给予一定自由的香港政治生态可能结束了。那么对原来的那些那个建制派的老臣们，我认为中央同样是不满意的。那23年来北京投放了大量的资源也没有为北京守住，更不要说扩大阵地了。我觉得这一仗下来，不少建制派人员也会面临被淘汰，就慢慢北来的政治任务会加入到这个政治版图。香港目前呢还没有普选，但是在选举上现在明显可以看出建制可能不如以前那样可以占到优势，但是你要北京直接出手来不断的使用权力帮助选举实在是太难看，我觉得。所以9月份的选举对政府来说是很重要的一个风向球。关于言论结社出版自由的空间，本来23年来已经是很窄小了，接下来会更收窄。那么这个当然不是国安法本身的问题，而是可能的执法扩大化，这历来是中国法治的短板。许波，
好的。那么我们看到自香港回归中国以来呢，这个港人为了捍卫一国两制，捍卫港人治港的原则，进行过多次的抗争。我们看从2003年的这个反23条立法，到2015年的这个雨伞运动啊，直到去年的反送中运动，这一路走来，我来请教刘先生啊，港人这一路走来，如今却面临呢被中共全面接管这样一个局面，您有什么感触呢？啊，您这是中共全面接管香港，这是您料想到的结局吗？
其实我们在这个20多年前那个时候看到许家屯回忆录的时候呢，就讲到邓小平是为什么要倡导一国两制呢？他说是共产党人对资本主义啊来个再认识。那本来我们是对这个是充满了期盼的，但是结果到头来在前年啊，马克思诞生200周年的时候呢，全世界绝无仅有的这个中共以高调的来说马克思是对的，那么一下子呢我们都明白过来了。因为马克思阶级斗争、无产阶级专政、暴力革命、世界革命、消灭私有制、埋葬资本主义，这个是马克思是对的，就说明在中植价值观里头啊，那个中共对于香港的一国两制里头呢，它本身的最终的取向。那你想想看，本来基本法第五条明确规定，香港特别行政区不实行社会主义制度和政策。那好，你现在由人大常委会来制定这个港区国安法，那你说这次确确实实是不屈不折的社会主义的制度和政策嘛？现在要放到这个基本法附件三在香港实施， 那么你说跟这个基本法有没有冲突呢？就是明摆着的嘛。问题是我们看到，如果他既然是以马克思是对的这个思路、终极价值观来对待香港那个一国两制越收越窄啊，实际上是把它变成了一国一制的时候，你可想而知，以后所谓的两岸假定是和平统一之后，台湾的一国两制就是香港这个样板，然后再来中共怎么看待全世界绝大多数国家都是实行资本主义制度，这个一球两制它的取态是怎么样？所以呢，从这里啊，就从香港那个他怎么对待香港，怎么去收紧香港，怎么把一国两制那个搞成啊，搞成这个名存实亡啊，让邓小平这个著名的政策里头啊，去这个变成是一个空价值啊。
嗯，
所以呢，就已形成了全球化 2.0 去中国化里头啊，是大概率的事。从这个终极价值观，我们就可以觉得来讲了，香港有今天的结局一点都不奇怪。
嗯，好的，那么可能也刚才刘先生说的，也正是港人这23年来不断抗争的一个这个动机。那么我们看到，与国安法相比，当年的23条立法政治改革，尤其是去年的逃犯条例，简直就不算什么，但是都激起了港人的强烈反应。可是看看当下呢，港人真正面临生死存亡的这样一个紧要关头呢，我们似乎并没有看到这个预想当中的激烈抗争。我来请教纪先生，这是怎么回事啊？是港人真的认命了吗？
我想从两方面来说，一方面，大规模的集会呢，由于疫情，那个警方也不批，也就是这个民间那个这个这种自由这个集会，也需要警方批，警方不批，因为疫情的影响，所以民意呢到底是怎么情况也无法这个来检验。基本上激进的勇武派呢也抓的也差不多了。那么另一方面，我认为很重要，香港一国两制何去何从的本土较量，这一夜一个战役基本上是画上了句号。就香港民众和政府从2003年的反23条开始，到2014年的战中要普选，以至去年开始反修例，一步一步走向激烈激进。那么去年更是甚至于惨烈，将近上万人被抓。就在民主尚不存在的社会里边，与权力博弈，我认为没有不受伤的。在没有约束的权力平台上，本来就打不赢，权力是不会跟你讲道理的，有权才是真理。所以当北京实在忍无可忍的拿起权力的铁锤，小小的香港哪能不认命呢？绝对你必须认命。所以可以说，回归以后的一国两制制度之争的第一阶段的博弈结束了。接下来香港即使有些闹事都是尾声，但是那个这种博弈其实并没有停止，甚至升级了。那是什么呢？可能已经升级到国家跟国家级别的对抗，是社会主义和资本主义两大阵营的角力。那么香港不可避免的成为一个主战场。许波，
好的。那么内地官媒呢，从去年反送中抗争中得出的教训，就是香港需要叫什么叫二次回归，或者叫人心回归。这个香港亲中人士相信呢，这个香港国安法会实现这个目的。那么我来请教刘先生，会不会这么灵？就是说，一个充满强制和暴力的这个国安法，会不会让港人人心思归？
那么很简单嘛，共产党、中共他的自己自诩是以马克思主义为他的指导思想的理论基础。那么按照马克思的哲学的基本原理，是存在决定意识，经济基础决定上层建筑。那么既然基本法第五条规定香港特别行政区保留原有的资本主义制度和生活方式50年不变， 那么香港这个资本主义的经济基础也好，社会存在也好，决定了香港人他本身的价值观啊，应当就是资本主义的价值观，普世价值的那个自由啊，这个民主、人权、法治，拥抱这个那个普世价值。那你说二次回归、人心回归，如果指的是说要向他内地的社会主义的那个价值观意识形态去这个靠拢、去回归呢，那根本就不可能的事。比如说在香港，法治是香港的核心价值，法治里头这个关键字点就是司法独立。这段话来讲呢，也放在前年这个林郑月娥作为特首的施政报告里第31段开头那句。好了，反过来在内地里头，他社会主义的价值观就是说要向司法独立亮剑。他内地的这个七不讲，体现他的社会主义的价值观，就不讲普世价值，不讲新闻自由，不讲司法独立等等。但是在香港是七个都要讲。那你说人心回归是什么意思呢？是不是香港要回归到这个内地的七不讲呢？所以从这里呢，就完全违背了经济基础决定上层建筑、存在决定意识这个马克思这个哲学的基本原理。所以呢，我觉得你现在搞了这个港区这个国安法来讲呢，把一个社会主义的制度和政策弄到香港来，是不是达到所谓的人心回归、二次回归的效果呢？秦二世的时候，那也是严刑峻法，结果秦王朝里头呢，就是这个从秦始皇统一六国开始，15年就烟消云散了。所以我觉得来讲呢，你人心回归的东西，应该要根据这个香港一国两制本来的面目，真正做到是坚持一国原则，尊重两制差异，二者不可偏废，要完整的、准确的去进行一国两制，不动摇、不变形、不走样，这就是我们香港同胞的期盼。
好的，
谢谢。
那么最近呢，香港一些民调显示，港人呢对于抗争问题的民意有所变化。我们看到路透社的不久前做的这个民意调查，我来请教季先生啊，您怎么看香港目前的民意？以及未来的它的变化趋势，中共所期待的这个二次回归会出现吗？
我不太认同这个二次回归这个词。为什么这么说呢？1997年香港主权回归，实行一国两制，当初讲的就是主权回归，就让香港的天变得与中国主权一样的颜色，从殖民的天变成主人的天。那么二次回归，那又是一次变天，那是变谁的天？变资本主义的天，变两制的天，这个逻辑我觉得那个不通。那其实国安法它只是一个补缺，这个中央其实讲得很清楚，中央给予补二十基本法二十三条没有立法的国安漏洞，对吧？而且这一次补缺采用的是一个强权的一个方式。就北京两会前，香港人都很少有人知道会有这回事。草案文本据说人大常委会讨论前，文本全香港只有5个人看过。那原因，那个梁爱士说是怕闹事，那就是说怕得不到民意支持了，或者说这个人心没办法那个支持你这样的一个立法。那至于你说到人心，那个会不怎么来回归，我相信人心永远不可能靠霸道铁锤取的，民意和人心需要时间的安抚。那么另外，国安法解决的是香港国家安全的问题，很多建制派人士将这个看作是可以解决香港所有问题的灵丹妙药，把这个看成是二次回归。我觉得这绝对是把香港带入沟里面去了，因为我们知道社会发展的规律和人民的这样的一个烟火气，怎么样才能够同心同德，对吧？那个靠的不是用这样的一个这个法律的这个铁拳。所以我们看回归，今天回归23年以后， 已经得到主权的香港还要再来一次回归，那说明要么是23年来无能，要么是对邓小平一国两制的误解。徐波，
好的，那么两位先生今天讲了很多，讲得非常好，我想在很大程度上能够代表这个广大港人的心声，但是也很明显，中共不会喜欢听你们的话。那么在在这个港版国安法即将生效，今天呢获得了这个中国人大常委会的这个批准和通过。那么在这种新的政治生态环境下，二位不担心你们个人的这个言论自由在美国之音上发表意见会危害你们自己人身安全，有没有这方面的担心？首先刘先生。
很简单，从我们本身作为一个中国香港人来讲呢，从字义上去理解呀，我们绝对认为分裂国土、颠覆国家政权、恐怖活动以及勾结那个外国或者境外势力来危害国家安全，这四种这个犯罪行为啊，我认为是不能这个去这个容忍的，是应该在法律上加以来去禁止和惩治的。但是问题是什么叫颠覆国家政权呢？什么叫这个勾结这个外国势力来危害国家安全呢？我们不希望把内地它的这个社会主义的那个标准那个就是罪与非罪的标准套来香港那个以言获罪的那些的这样的个案套来香港，我们是不接受这个，认为要尊重两制差异，对不对？所以在这种情况下来讲呢，也要考虑到香港作为国际金融中心，那么这个国际金融的持份者美国英国五眼联盟欧盟日本韩国他们这些的关注，他们在这里也是有重大的投资利益，而且中英联合声明是这个庄严的国际条约，按照维也纳国际这个条约公约法里头呢，他中国除了在这个中英联合声明讲明英国要把香港主权那个交还给中国政府来恢复行使主权以外，还有中国对这个本身里头这个香港的12条基本方针政策，就是一国两制、港人治港、高度自治，也是国际承诺、国际条约不可分割的一部分。
好的，
所以必须要履行。
好，季先生，您还有不到一分钟的时间，您也表个态吧。
我想当然有担心，因为如果说把那个美国之音化为境外势力，那你在这个美国之音上面发出批评的声音，那么有人就是我刚才也讲了，就国安法没有什么大问题，关键的问题是在执法过程当中的扩大化。有人把它扩大化，把它那个联系起来上纲上线，那么肯定你就是触犯了法律。但是我想我们上这个节目心里很坦荡，我们是为这个国家为香港好，我们是支持这个祖国安全，那么希望按照程序按照法律来维护香港的稳定繁荣。
好的，那么今天我们时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了，我们感谢季硕明先生、刘梦熊先生参加美国之音时事大家谈的讨论，两位嘉宾发表的都是他们个人的看法，不代表美国之音。好，欢迎各位收看，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。
由于新冠疫情，美国之音的时事大家谈节目暂停现场直播节目，但是我们的录播访谈节目每天继续以全新形式在网络和社交媒体推出。如果希望留言，中国大陆观众请拨00852-3001-7560，台湾的观众请。